Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk VRE this morning, and our special guest is the CEO of the Virginia Railway Express, Doug Allen. Doug is back with us. Doug, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. We first met you three and a half years ago, mm-hmm. right before the station opened in Spotsylvania. Right. And the interesting thing about that is, You take a look at that station, and you take a look at the growth and the growth around that station. It is everything it was promoted to be.
Yes, it is. It's worked out really well. It's a well-designed station. It's really a good location, and we're very happy with it. We're getting a lot of riders. Still some space out there, but a lot of people using it already.
I know people come up from Richmond will use mm-hmm. it to jump on to go to Northern Virginia.
The Northern Neck, obviously, Spotsylvania County. So it's well used, and we couldn't be happier with the location and the success that it's had.
One of the things we're going to get into this morning, one of the main reasons it's great to have you here is that there with some changes with Metro this summer make VRE a great alternative. But I am always I know a lot of people that use VRE and just the numbers that you have of ridership. You think it's 95 right now is as bad as it is. What it would be like if there were no VRE and you put all those cars on the road, we really would be gridlock.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's a team sport trying to move people, and especially during the rush hour. And the state I know has done a lot, and they're continuing to do a lot with the express lanes. But we run, as the name implies, we're a commuter rail, so we run service to serve the commuters, and because of that, our service is geared towards putting a lot of trains out there, a lot of capacity during the rush hours, coming in, going north in the morning and coming south in the afternoon. So when you convert that into how many people you're carrying per hour and compare it to a highway lane, we're the equivalent of another lane of traffic out there on 95 in the morning and in the afternoon coming back. And our plans are to add service eventually, and we'll add even more capacity. So it's that capacity during the rush hour that we really provide that does a tremendous amount of good for the people who get to use it, and also the people who aren't using it, because it frees up capacity for them.
Yeah. Now, in between the Fredericksburg line and the Manassas line, you really the service that you provide is. We can't think now where we would be without it.
Yeah, it's you're right on both lines. The Manassas line parallels 66, and we parallel 95. And I mean, the cost of replacing that with other modes would be astronomical. And it's a safe mode. It's one of the commuter rails. One of the safest ways of commuting around. Other than walking, and it's a long walk.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, in the early days, and really maybe about a decade ago, there was such a big there were problems at different times just with delays and things like that, and you rarely hear about that anymore. That really has changed and has been tightened up.
That is the case. We did have some challenges with on-time performance when we were implementing a new rail safety system, and we can talk about that more. And occasionally there's bad weather. We had some bad weather a few weeks ago that just happens, and had trees down across the tracks. Mm-hmm. But those things happen.
Right.
But for the vast majority, it's a very reliable service, a very comfortable service. And as mentioned, very safe service. So for those who can use it, and we hope more will give it a try if their schedule and where they're working works out, that I think they'd be happy with the service.
I was telling you before the show, I know the people who ride commuter rail because the people on VRE will post pictures on Facebook of sunrises in the morning over the Potomac, and those that aren't are talking about how they were late or putting pictures up of just stopped traffic.
Yeah, it really is a kind of a almost a lifestyle thing of being able to get ready for work in the morning, rest, get your notes prepared, be kind of clear in your head. And then the same thing coming back, just kind of relaxing and get on the train. And it's a very comfortable ride. And so for those who can use it, it's a great opportunity to do that.
I never thought of that. That is true. I mean, the difference of the, whether you're wherever you're getting off in the evening, of just how you feel and how your day went when you're getting off the train, as opposed to being sitting in for a couple of hours in traffic.
Yeah, when I got here a few years ago, I went out to one of the stations, just walked up to a lady and said, "Tell me about VRE." And she goes, "Oh, it's the best part of my day." And this was during the rush hour.
Yeah,
you don't hear that very often.
No.
Best part of my day. And so yeah, we know we have customers who really cherish that, and we're glad to be able to provide it. And the jurisdictions that, you know, formed VRE and decided we needed to have a commuter rail system back in the late 80s, they knew what they were doing. And a lot of work's gone into making it a really quality service.
How'd you get to VRE?
Well, I spent my career in Texas, and there was an opportunity that came up, and I was contacted about would I be interested. I said, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be fun. And so I applied and went through the interview process, and they selected me. One of the things I like to do is put together long-range plans to grow things, and that's what we need to do at VRE, and we've done that. And we have a pretty robust plan and a thought-through plan that makes common sense, but ultimately will grow the system even more. And so my background had been in regional systems, regional government, and that's what VRE is. We're a collection of nine jurisdictions and as well as a state, and you got to be a regional player to be able to deliver these kinds of systems. And so that's how I got here.
It's interesting, just the regional systems, because a lot of times you talk about just regional anything when localities get involved. You don't hear a lot of so often they'll be fighting or somebody doesn't like this or that. You don't hear about that with VRE.
No, you don't. It's a it's always been focus on what's good for the region. And the board members that we have had and still have are all focused on what's good for the region. Now, they'll look at, you know, obviously what's good for their jurisdiction that they represent, which is understandable. But they do keep in mind what's good for the region is good for our jurisdictions and good for the Commonwealth and you know, more importantly, good for the citizens that live here. And so we value that collaboration, that regional approach, and we want to continue to foster that.
Doug Allen is here, the CEO of VRE. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of the main reasons we got him here this morning is to talk about a lot of changes with Metro this summer. The six Metro stations south of National Airport closed for the summer, and we're going to get into that and how VRE can help. Doug Allen here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Bryce Reeves is the proven Republican.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Virginia Railway Express, our focus this morning, Doug Allen is here, the CEO of VRE. And we are talking, taking a look at just a lot of VRE issues. And hopefully, Doug, we'll get you back and we can continue to do this on a more regular basis. A lot of people are affected by this. This is good stuff, and it's great to have you here.
I really appreciate being here.
This is an important time with what's happening with Metro. Metro has closed a number of stations, and I know it has caused a lot of concern with a lot of people trying to figure out how they're going to manage this summer.
Yeah, I think it just highlights what a value Metro is to the whole region. Carries a tremendous number of people, and the shutdown of the stations, it was the right thing to do. Paul Wiedefeld made the right tough decision, but right thing, obviously, if you need to do some maintenance on the stations, you need to do it. And so it's closed down all the stations south of Reagan Airport, and a couple of those are stations that we also serve, Alexandria Union Station, which is right at the King Street Metro Station, And then Franconia Springfield Station is also right at the Franconia Springfield Metro Station. So this last week or so, we've wrapped up what we call Meet the Management. So every spring, we go out to all of our major stations, destination stations, and set up. And I'm out there, and my senior management's out there, and we are out there to thank the riders, but also to answer questions. And so I was able to see firsthand when we were out at Alexandria. We've done this, we've done these Meet the Managements over the years. And in the past, we'd see, you know, a couple dozen maybe getting off the trains. Well, now we're seeing like over 100 getting off the trains. And a lot of them are new to VRE because of the Metro shutdown. They're looking for an option. And so we were able to explain how the system works and answer their questions. And, you know, it's a pretty simple system in terms of being able to understand how to use it. And then the same thing happened at Franconia Springfield the next week. Way more people got off in the afternoon than previously. So we're definitely picking up people on the train. And the feedback we're getting from the riders is how comfortable it is and just really relaxing and works out well for them. Competitively, from a travel time standpoint, if you're going to Union Station area of downtown, you can probably get to Union Station faster by about 10 minutes on VRE than on Metro. Again, Metro is a very valuable service. We're very supportive of it. But we're glad to be able to have an option for other people. And who knows, they may choose to stay with us. It's all about what works for them. That's why we need to have all these regional systems and the bus systems in the region also play a big role.
I wondered, I was going to ask you that about, because it seemed to me just because it having ridden, especially from Franconia Springfield into Union Station Metro a number of times, but in thinking about it, I thought that VRE could probably get there faster.
Oh yeah, we do. From there we have it's a third stop after that, Alexandria, then Crystal City, Lafon, and then the third is there. The last one would be Union Station. And so yeah, if your schedule works for what our service is, again, we're tailored to commuting in the morning and then in the afternoon coming back out. But we have trains during the middle of the day too, but not a lot. So for those who have that option and have the flexibility that fit our schedule, it is a really, really good option.
Well, and hopefully people will see, like you say, I think a lot of times the commuters, you find something that works and you don't want to mess with it. But now you're kind of forced to, and this may, you may see that the people see that, hey, you know, I can do this, and it's you know, it's a little bit faster, and the cars are a little nicer.
Yeah, it's a different kind of service, and you know, we're built for comfort because it's long distances. Most of our riders, the average trip length is about 30 miles, so most of our riders are on the train for a long time, and that's why we want to have comfortable seats, have restrooms on the train that are clean. It's just a very comfortable ride, very safe ride. And so, I think most people are creatures of habit, and commuting is no different, that they get into, this is what my day is, this is what my routine is. And sometimes when it gets disrupted, like the Metro shutdown, those riders have to go find another way of commuting.
Yeah.
And, so it does introduce options that, they probably hadn't thought of before. And I do think that, there's a lot more riders getting off. We've been able to do counts, and typically when we do counts, we stop counting before we get to Alexandria. Well, now we're picking up people in Alexandria. So
I guess that is probably a change of what you have to actually, you know, picking up people up there.
Yeah. One of the things we like to do is introduce technology into our railroad, and there's a lot of technology already, from safety systems and whatever, but we also are putting in a automated passenger counters, and the technology now is very, very elaborate. And what it will do is have an accurate count on how many people are in each car, in each train, and when they go between cars, it'll be able to detect that. So within a year, we'll have that system fully built out, and we'll have a much greater sense of having data and how many people are on the train and on each train, and that'll help us when we start adding more capacity to those trains.
Well, and I guess this fall, when Metro opens things up, you'll be able to see also if you know
how many people.
Are going to stick with it? Because I think a lot. I would think a lot would.
I think so too. Again, it's a matter of a lot of people. are creatures of habit again, and but they want to also look at see what's out there that serves them, and it could turn out that Metro, Metro certainly is a valuable service, but it could turn out that some of the riders will continue with VRE. And again, we're all commuting is a team sport. We're all trying to do the same thing, and whatever works out for people that serves them best, that's what they're going to stick with.
Doug Allen here, the CEO of VRE. We're talking Virginia Railway Express this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You mentioned just about it seems every mass transit system has their own kind of map and their own way of figuring things out. VRE has always made it pretty easy to be able to figure out how to get from here to there.
Yes, we do. I think having the number of stations that we have and where they're located and kind of spread out gives people a lot of different options. And as we were mentioning, the Spotsylvania station really opens up a lot of new options for new people. It did free up space in downtown Fredericksburg too. So the Fredericksburg station now has parking available. Leland is well located, has some parking availability, and Brook is another one that's in this area that, again, is a good location, and obviously we have to be on the tracks, so that kind of limits our options. But other than being right on the railroad, we've tried to locate where those stations are, and we got plans to expand those, and I can get into that in more detail. But we want to add more cars. We're going to be working with the Chicago Metra system. That's the commuter rail system in Chicago. They use the same types of rail cars as we do, gallery style, which has an upper level, and they're going to go out for a procurement on new rail cars, and we've partnered with them in the past, and so we'll be part of that proposals and get new cars in a few years. And what we're going to do with those is make our trains longer, so we'll add actually more capacity. And I get into more detail on what our longer range plans are. But in the near term, we're going to be going out in the next 4 months for a procurement on rail cars. It'll take a few years to get them built and then delivered. But we'll be adding additional rail cars to our trains to add more capacity on both lines, Manassas and Fredericksburg.
I remember a few years ago when you did make the change and upgraded the cars, of how that – you heard a lot about that, and just how just what a change that was, and a welcome change.
Yes, and we do a lot to keep those cars well maintained. I mean, they're a major asset, those and the locomotives. A couple of years ago we switched over how we do routine maintenance on our rail cars, and we went to what's called a life cycle maintenance approach for maintaining those cars. And what that essentially is a very complex, detailed analysis of the various components around the locomotive, and kind of monitoring their how they're working and how they're performing. And it's predictive, and you predict that, okay, these parts on the locomotives or the cab cars are about to fail, so mm-hmm. you go in there and you replace it. It's very much similar to what the Navy does in maintaining ships that are out at sea and submarines that are out at sea. So we have moved to that, and to support that, we're going to be building a facility out at our Crossroads Yard, which is by the Spotsylvania Station, a life cycle, an upgrade facility where we'll be doing all of that work on our rail cars. And it's just another layer of adding reliability to our rail cars and extending the life of those rail cars. And doing things at a high level and a professional level, and kind of being on the, making sure we're at the forefront of doing things the way we're supposed to be doing. And so that reliability is really critical to our riders and to us and to our host railroads that we operate on, that our trains are going to continue to run and be well maintained and perform at a high level.
Yeah, and as you've seen, I know years ago when there were the issues of delays and all, you saw ridership go down, and as you're able to be consistent like that, it has gone up.
Right. You try to reduce as many things that could cause delays as you can. You can't do anything about the weather.
Now, your tree's coming across the rail line.
Yeah, there's Mother Nature out there to deal with. But anytime you can look at adding tracks, adding capacity, making the platforms longer, which is what we're going to be doing at those stations that I mentioned, Fredericksburg, Brook and Leland, making all of our platforms longer so that when we add the rail cars, when they pull into the station, the train can empty faster or board faster, mm-hmm. and then load up and keep going. So it keeps that fluidity in the network. But adding rail cars and having longer platforms is just going to make the whole system work a little bit more efficiently.
And I'm sure it's what both morning and afternoon commutes to have the longer cars and just to have more space.
Yeah. It spreads the crowds out on the trains. And again, that we don't plan to have anybody standing because we have a long trip.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we're delivering seats for people to sit in and be comfortable as we take them to their work and bring them back.
Well, and the other thing, we talk about things you can't control. I know every year when we hit summer,
yeah.
and you get heat, and yeah. and the heat restrictions will come into play.
Yeah, heat restrictions can be an issue, are an issue, and that has contributed some real schedule impacts, delayed trains. What that is it's actually the change in temperature. It's going from relatively modest temperatures to heat, and that quick heating up of the rails can cause them to become misaligned, and that's a safety issue. So if it's a gradual buildup on temperature, that's not an issue. It's just when the temperature spikes. That can happen, and we have to slow the trains down, and it's just a safety issue. Unfortunately, that does slow the trains down, but it's a safety issue. We have to do it.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We are talking VRE this morning. The CEO of the Virginia Railway Express is here, Doug Allen. When we come back, we're going to get into talking about expansion and long-range plans with VRE. Good stuff this morning. We have more coming up. Stay with us on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
The radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Doug Allen is here, the CEO of the Virginia Railway Express. A lot of good stuff this morning, talking just about something that's so many people. And so I guess that's one of the things, Doug, I'm sure you think about, and especially on days, even like it's been this morning, 95 northbound, there was a bad accident at Centerport Parkway this morning. You really do help families and just people and whether they're going to work or come to work. We mentioned that, but there've got to be days that sometimes when you take a look at just the either 95 or 66 and know that you are making a difference when there are days when everything just shuts down.
Yeah, definitely. Coming out here, I had a chance to witness the folks on the other side.
That must be something, Doug.
Oh, you feel for them. It's like, why don't you get in my train?
Yeah. I've got a train that can
or get into
care
a van or get into the express lane. Then the express lanes were loaded up. I mean, they were moving. Obviously,
yeah.
That's what they're designed to do. I didn't see what the toll rate was, but yeah, we're for those who can, their schedule permits and where they go, if they can get on our train, it just gives them that much more opportunity. We carry a lot of people. 35% of all of our riders come from this area. Come from Spotsylvania, Stafford area. At Fredericksburg, so we carry a lot of people, and it's a long distance. It's 65 miles, you know, into DC.
Yeah,
and most of our riders get off at Crystal City or Lafont is our heaviest station, and then Union Station. So it's a long trip, but it allows people to live here. I mean, they want to work in DC or work in Northern Virginia. But this gives them an opportunity to live down in Fredericksburg area and Stafford and Spotsylvania and. it's a great area. It's a lovely area. And to be able to live here and have a lifestyle here, but then get on the train and go to your job, you know, in a comfortable, safe manner, it just really adds to the whole Northern Virginia, Central Virginia lifestyle.
You mentioned the early part of the show about just how planning and looking ahead is what you do. I guess one of the main things with what you do, and as we talk about a number of these things, some of that you've mentioned or touched on this morning, one of the things that's out there and that everybody's talking about or trying to figure out is what Amazon will mean to the region and to the state.
Well, I think the direct Amazon is moving there is. Reflection of they went through, from what I could read, a very detailed analysis of what's in their best interest. You know, where should they locate? And the talent in this region is very high. And when they look around, so that's number one, is there's a workforce. But the other is they selected a site that's in Crystal City, which is, you know, within a few blocks of where our VRE station is. I don't think they selected it because of VRE, but I do think they did look at transportation.
Yeah.
So they very well could have considered that, as well as Metro, of course.
Yeah.
We were actually in the planning process for a new Crystal City station, which about 20% of all of our riders get off at Crystal City. And so it'll be within walking distance of that. And there'll be spinoff employment also that'll happen. And so the whole nature of Crystal City will change. And then as part of that, it was interesting, a concept came up that's being advanced by Arlington County to build a pedestrian bridge or attempt to build a pedestrian bridge from the Crystal City station, Crystal City area, over to Reagan National Airport. And that would be a major game changer for a lot of reasons for our riders. And when we add more service in the future, which our long-range plan does, having access to the airport, either obviously to fly out or, mm-hmm. or to work there even, is a great possibility. We won't be active in it, but we will support it. And if our design is on the Crystal City Station requires that we accommodate it, we'll accommodate it in the design. But it just shows that, you know, trying to plan ahead, think about what's going to happen. And when you do that, as Arlington County did, you know, things happen and people choose to locate their businesses there. And so I think it'll be a really good to advance not only the upper Northern Virginia part, but all of this part of the region.
Boy, something like that, and it's such an interesting time right now for VRE when you think about what's happening with Metro that when we talked about, and what you know with Amazon, and it's a lot of key things are kind of coming together, and people will be able to take a look at VRE and how it meets their needs.
Well, and a lot of the improvements and things we talked about is a reflection of thinking ahead, planning ahead,
longer trains.
Longer trains, keeping them well maintained, mm-hmm. Locating stations so we can expand and get them a little bit more accessible location. All that comes from the board's desire to have a long range plan and to really think out what do we want to do, what do we want to grow. And I think it's one of the reasons I was intrigued about coming here is. It's really a great service, and it's well run. And how do we build on that and add more service and grow the system? And that's what we've been doing. We've got great partners at the state. The Department of Rail and Public Transportation is a major funding. Shannon Valentine is the current transportation secretary. She's been very supportive. And that whole group is very collaborative. They have plans to run more state-sponsored inner-city trains, so we work very closely together. In fact, later this week we'll be meeting with them as well as with the CSX Railroad. We meet to coordinate on projects that are out there up and down the corridor. And the more we can do that, the more we can advance these projects.
One of the other things that when you talk about expansion is right now, what is it? Is it you've got two lanes of the bridge over the Potomac?
Yeah, the Potomac River there's a two-track bridge that goes across the Potomac River. It's called the Long Bridge, and that connects Virginia with the District of Columbia. And we've got plans. We have funding. Both us and the state have funding for building a fourth track on in the D.C. area, in the D.C., in D.C.
Yeah.
And also in the Virginia area. So we'll have four tracks going up to the river. So a few years ago, we got funding to do an environmental impact statement. And so that is at a point where we're getting a draft environmental impact statement prepared. Should be done here shortly in the next few months. So we're working with the District Department of Transportation. So the District of Columbia is involved. The CSX Railroad, who owns the current Long Bridge, is involved. The Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation is involved. And then Virginia Railway Express. So the four of us are all collaborating and have a draft environmental impact statement, which is huge. And once you go through and get that developed, that then gives you a chance to advance it to the next stage, get comments, get feedback. And so what's being proposed is another two-track railroad bridge, but also a hike and bike bridge that'll be adjacent to that. And that'll allow not only for recreation, but people living in the Crystal City area. There's a pretty healthy bike commute market out there also. So it's an interesting project. And what makes it complex, it's a really narrow right-of-way. And where it's located, obviously, is very sensitive from a historic standpoint, yeah. From a park standpoint. So it's a really complex project, but to be able to get this far on that is a huge game changer. When that bridge gets done in the next 7 to 8 years, that now doubles the capacity going on for us and for Amtrak and for CSX. CSX trains would have their bridge back for them, and we would be able to run our trains. And then that opens up the possibility of running additional trains. And that's really where we want to get to, is running more trains and more midday service, as well as the state's plans for state-sponsored intercity trains. So that's really a big game changer. And I'm very excited that it's advanced. Kind of a nerd in me that I'm so excited about a long-range plan, but I've done this before, and yeah. I know that when you get to this stage and you've developed a long-range plan and you get to this stage of having a draft environmental impact statement, there's a very good chance it's going to happen, and so it's just keeping to it, and it's such a major project that opens up so many more possibilities that. It's going to be great for not only Virginia, but also the whole District of Columbia and Maryland areas, because then Maryland trains can come into Virginia at that point. So it's just a major, major project, and we're really glad to have gotten this far on that project.
This is the first that I've heard that it's that far along, because in the past it's always just been talked about as, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? And we've talked about it in those terms. You've actually talked about some concrete things.
Well, that's the point, Ted, that it's gotten to a point where there's tangible work products. And we've been working with the Federal Railroad Administration. That's our lead agency that we're doing the environmental impact statement for. So getting their input, getting their understanding of the project, they'll have to obviously get the comments and make the decision on the environmental impacts have been documented properly. But yeah, once you get that going, it's still going to be a lot of money, but at least you have a project that's been defined, and we'll get to a point where it's cleared the environmental process, and then it's a matter of everyone understanding. It's such a logical project when you look at it. There's going to be four tracks on either side, and there's a two-track bridge in between. Obviously, you need to build another two-track bridge right next to it, yeah. to have a full four-track all the way through.
And it's been this bridge. This is where because, like you say, you've got Amtrak, you've got CSX, and you've got VRE using
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And that's where at times, if you've ridden the train, you'll see everybody has to sit and wait your turn.
Well, and the dispatchers, the people who dispatch the trains for the CSX, I mean, they're doing a lot of work, and they see trains converging on that territory, and they kind of space them out, and they understand what they can release and what they can, and so once there's two tracks turns into four tracks going across that territory, now that gives the dispatchers up and down, even all the way, both directions, a lot more opportunity, a lot more flexibility. So reliability goes up, but also capacity goes up.
Before we take a break here, I want to ask you about one of the things you mentioned. There had been you talked about the rail safety system that had caused some some delays in, in implementing that. What is involved there? To talk about, because it sounds very high tech.
It is extremely high tech. It's a positive train control system, and we have a number of safety systems already on our railroad. We have cab signal control, which was put in probably 10, 12 years ago. To use technology to help the locomotive engineer operate the train safely. And so positive train control is another layer of safety systems that go over the top of that. And it does things like detects if there's a switch that's misaligned. It's designed, you know, that the switch isn't supposed to be this way, it's supposed to be the other way. It'll detect that. And stop the train if necessary. It will tell if there's workers out in the railroad and guarantee it'll actually slow the train down if the engineer doesn't. As you're going by those work crews, it can be a very dangerous area, and there's a lot of safety. There's flaggers out there that are paying attention. But it'll slow the train down when it's going through worked crew areas. If a train is going faster than the speed limit, it'll slow the train down. And of course, if there's about to be a collision between trains, it would stop for some reason. It would, you know, not only slow, but stop the train. So this system is well designed. We've been working with our host railroads, CSX on the Fredericksburg line and the Norfolk Southern on the Manassas line. They installed all the equipment next to the tracks, we call it the wayside. We've installed all the equipment on our locomotives and our cab cars. Did a lot of testing. We have a very detailed PTC implementation plan. We rolled it out, and it worked well. But there were some issues that you go out there and you have to fine tune it. It's not exactly the way it was, you know, out there in the field as what we scheduled. So adjustments had to be made, and that resulted in delays. And so in April we had pretty significant delays out there mostly because of starting up the positive train control, finding issues, working them out. My staff and the consultants who we have did a great job in tackling every one of those, getting down to the root cause of what was going on, and then making the corrections in the software. I don't think there was any hardware issues, but in the software that controls it. And those have dwindled down to now just a handful of delays. But it's a great system. It's all about safety. I'm very proud of the work that my staff and the consultants have done to really dig into each issue, not just accept it. And there's still some issues out there that we're trying to wrestle to the ground. Once they've really gone through and weeded out all the issues, and we're down to this is what it's going to be. Then we'll consider schedule changes to accommodate the reality that'll be out there. But we're not quite there yet. We want to make sure we've squeezed all that we can out of it. But it's a very complex system, and the rollout did cause delays. Those have dwindled down. Unfortunately, last month, then we got hit with a lot of weather issues that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
We were really hoping to get back to our regular high 80s, 90% on-time performance, and our riders are really good. When we talk to them, we had meet the management meetings out there, and we get a chance to talk to our riders. Obviously, there were some that expressed frustration, and we don't blame them. We don't want it to be late either, but I think they know, all our riders know, that we're working hard to get back to a high reliability on our service.
I've learned so much today, and these kind of things. It's interesting, just that the safety and some of the other things. It's good to know, and just really the forward thinking.
Yes, it is. And again, this is something that's been required. We just needed the time to do it, and we're doing it now, and it's rolled out, and we're happy to have it out there.
Tau Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap it up with Doug Allen, the CEO of the Virginia Railway Express, when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Doug Allen's been with us this morning, the CEO of the Virginia Railway Express. One of the things we didn't mention, Doug, is that there's an app that can keep you updated on all of this. And I know when there are going to be delays and things like that, it can alert you to a lot of things.
Yeah, our mobile app, VRE Mobile, can be obtained through our website. And it not only does it have a real-time train tracking, we call it, to identify where the train is, what the schedule is. If there's delays, we can send out messages to our riders. Recently, we've talked about increasing the frequency of those updates, because we have riders who, if we say it's going to be a 20-minute delay, they'll stay in the office. But then if we can move the train out, it's okay, it's going to be leaving in 3 minutes. Well, then now they can't get to the office, or get to the station. So we're going to be increasing that. So the website, not only the website, the mobile app, VRE Mobile, not only has that, but it has, you can buy your ticket on it. You can get all of the tickets you want, have your monthly ticket downloaded, and all you got to do is show the conductor the screen, and the train's moving on your screen, so you know it's an actual app is doing what it's supposed to do. So it's very easy to use. Gives you all the information on schedules, on time, when it's where the train is, and your fares, and it just makes it so easy to use VRE.
And for families, it's good too. You'll know if mom or dad are going to be late for supper.
Yes.
Right. Kind of thing.
Yep. It gives that information, and with information, you can do a lot with it.
Just about a minute left. The Metro is closing a number of stations for the summer. Check the VRE schedule out. It may be something that you may get to work a little bit faster, and maybe something, instead of stressing over the closing of the 6 Metro stations, VRE may be able to step in and help you out.
I think that'd be a good option for people. I think a lot of them are already starting it, but the more we can get out the information about what we do and how to use the system, the better, because I think it's a very easy system to use and does a lot of good.
Doug, it's been great to have you here.
I've enjoyed it.
I'm glad you could come down, and we will do this much more frequently and talk about things. And thanks for what VRE is doing, because like we said, you just have to look at any time in the rush hours, and you see that people are off the roads, and a lot of it's because of you.
Well, thank you, and appreciate the chance to come down here and talk about our service and what we can do for the region.
Doug Allen, the CEO of the Virginia Railway Express. Again, Doug, thank you. We will see you soon, and drive safely.
All right. Thank you.
Doug Allen with VRE. That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.